Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are getting in your car after what was a beautiful, gorgeous Thursday afternoon at Citi Field, let me just say, oh my God! The Mets had a 4-0 lead against the Washington Nationals. It was a mostly happy day on a Thursday afternoon, other than the Senga injury scare, and we'll get you an update as soon as it's available. And with a 4-0 lead in the ninth inning, Ryan Stanek gave up back-to-back-to-back hits. And so Carlos Mendoza said, 4-1 game, 2-1, nobody out. Let me go to Edwin Diaz.
Come on, Diaz, save us.
Save us. Don't let this be a disaster. And Edwin Diaz promptly came into the game, and he walked Nathaniel Lau on 4 pitches. Then, after that, he falls behind Josh Bell, an old nemesis, and Bell rips one up the middle for a base hit. And so all of a sudden, an easy 4-0 victory was 4-2 with the bases loaded and nobody out. And a credit to Edwin Diaz, because what really changed things was when he got Ahmed Rosario as a pinch hitter. Well, I'm sorry, he was a pinch runner. Alec Call, who's a Met killer, on a 2-1 pitch to pop up the second base. So, okay, got that first out.
Right.
And then, when he got ahead of Jose Tena, Francisco Alvarez could not get in front of a ball that should have been called a pass ball. I don't even know what they scored. They actually scored at a wild pitch, which is a disgrace. And so that allowed another run to score and set up second and third, one out, up 4-3. Diaz was a base hit away from giving up the lead. Good contact away from it being a tie game. And a credit to Diaz. He got Tena to ground out. He got Kiermaier Ruiz to ground out. And Edwin Diaz and the Mets survive a scare and beat the Nationals 4-3. They've won 6 in a row. They sweep the Washington Nationals. But, Tiki, you didn't hear something I heard.
What's this?
As this Met meltdown was occurring, Sean Morass said something to me. He said, you know what this is, Evan? I said, what's this, a Met meltdown? Yeah, I've seen it before. He said, no. This is reverse Grimace Day. They're honoring Grimace, turned everything around last year. On the year anniversary of Grimace saving the Mets, it's going to go the other way. They're going to blow a game to the Nationals, and the season's going to go to hell in a handbasket.
And Senga hurt.
And Senga hurt. No, you're right. That's what Sean was predicting. And you know what? I have to admit, I nodded.
You thought
and said,
it for a second.
Damn it!
I want to make it clear. Supporting me calls me a hater. I was not rooting for that, but it was the first thing because the Mets tweeted out this Grimace thing that came to my mind. I go, are they really going to implode, have their best pitcher possibly lose to an injury? Like, the irony would be there, and that would be a talking point if Diaz had completed this blown save today. The one-year Grimace reverse.
Yeah, like, losing a game to the Nationals is not disgraceful. It's tough to win every single day, and the Mets are red hot. But, yeah, blowing a 4-0 game in the ninth inning, that would sting. So, you can tell me all you want, you aren't rooting for it, but when you made that comment, with bases loaded, nobody out, this is the reverse jinx, reverse Grimace moment for the New York Mets, you kind of wanted it to happen.
Well, I wanted to see you squirm a little bit, because it's not going to matter in the X's and O's, but yeah, I mean, all right, I wasn't rooting for it, but
yes, you were.
It would have been funny to observe.
He just wanted to see you squirm. Well, he just wanted to see you emotionally react when they lost a game that they should have absolutely won. Obviously, it didn't happen. And thankfully so, Edwin Diaz getting the ground out. And obviously, and I think more importantly, Acuna holding the runner and instead of, so it's not a tie game. And then obviously the ground out to end the game. So look, Edwin Diaz is known to start slow like this sometimes. he'll walk a batter, but then he settles in.
Yes.
This one got dicey, and some of it is on Francisco Alvarez, and you could tell because he was upset after that pass ball, which was ruled a wild pitch, but it certainly wasn't. I mean, it hit his glove. So, and you catch it. If it hits your glove, you catch it. Just like in football, you get your hands.
Should have been a fastball. That shouldn't have got past him. So, I agree with him.
Either way, Edwin Diaz finds a way out of it. And he was emotional about it. You could see him. You know he wanted it.
Well, Edwin, no, you nailed it with Edwin Diaz. I mean, we've seen this a lot from him, where he will get off to some slow starts. The one that jumps out at all of us is the division series last year, the clincher against the Phillies, when he walked the first two guys he faced and then got the next three outs. So he has shown an ability to do that. This one absolutely got dicey. I was surprised that Jacob Young, who was the runner on third base as the tying run, didn't run on contact because you force the Mets to have to make a play.
Right.
Now, Acuna could go out and make a perfect throw, could be tagged out, what it is.
I think he didn't go because they were playing in, the Mets were, and Acuna got that ball, I mean, what, 3 feet off the mound?
No, I know, but if you're running on contact, you're running as soon as that ball is hit. And I agree with you. If Acuna makes a perfect throw, he's out.
Yeah.
But if I'm the Nationals, I'd still do it because, okay, first and third, two outs instead of second and third, two outs. Yes. Sure, you lose the lead run being in scoring position, but you're still a base hit away from tying the game up, and you force your opponent to have to make a play.
Right.
And that didn't happen. Acuna made the play, held the runner, throws to first base, and then Edwin Diaz very quickly, did not make you score much longer, gets the final out. Look, Edwin Diaz, I'll say this confidently. Hopefully this doesn't bite me in the ass at some point. There is no closer in the history of the New York Mets. Sorry, Johnny. You know I love you. There is no closer in the history of the New York Mets I have ever had more confidence in than Edwin Diaz. And that is a very weird statement to have made because there have been many times over the journey together.
That's fluctuated.
Yes.
Significantly.
But I would say since 2022, the resurgence of 22, obviously he misses 23 due to the injury. And last year was mostly a good year. He wasn't perfect. He lost the job early in the year, but then got it back. We talked about what he did against the Phillies.
He was coming off a major injury.
You're right. I've never had as much consistent confidence in a closer in the history of this franchise. You could take your Billy Wagner. You could take your Armando Benitez. You could take your Johnny Franco. Mm-hmm. You could take whoever the hell you want. None of them over Edwin Diaz. And I thought this was an example of some great poise. And that's a great afternoon if you were out there today. And a lot of people were. Because the New York Mets, and this is where Steve Cohen's got to be smiling. The Met fan, you people, in your car right now, all pissed off because there's a lot of traffic. And there is sometimes getting out of those lots.
And it's Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
So it's even worse.
You answered the call from Steve Cohen. He said, show up. I've spent a lot of money on this team. 39,779, the announced crowd, on a Thursday afternoon against the Nationals.
It is the summer, though, Evan. There's a lot of people that can take off.
Really?
Some people just kids aren't in school. I mean,
Deke. Last summer was the summer, too. There was never 39,000 people on a Thursday afternoon.
This is very true. But they didn't have Juan Soto last year. They weren't the best team in baseball last year.
You're right.
At least record-wise. They're tied with the... Actually, now they're ahead of the...
Detroit Tigers. The Mets have the best record in baseball. Yes. Say it again, Teague.
The Mets have the best record in baseball. They're three games ahead of the Dodgers.
That's right. Say that again, too. I didn't hear you.
The Mets have the best record in baseball, and they're three games ahead of the Dodgers, Evan, if you didn't know this.
Oh, I know.
And 20 games over 500. Now 21 games over 500, which is significant.
And they're in the middle of a heater right now.
And what's their record versus the AL East?
Their record again? Who cares?
It's tough when you got to play the tough division in baseball.
I'm actually going to try to answer that question. I know he's just being a jerk. 1-2 against the Yankees. 1-2 against the Red Sox. They have not played the Blue Jays. They have not played the Orioles. And they're about to play the Tampa Bay Rays. So the answer to your question is 2-4.
They haven't played the Blue Jays. That's interesting.
Yeah. Have they played the Blue Jays? Are you like questioning my remembrance? Oh, yeah, they opened the series against them. Right, they were 3-0 against them. So 2-4, 5-4 against the American League East.
Okay.
That was opening day. Yeah, How the hell do I forget that?
Mr. Met forgets they played?
Mets suck.
That's right. They opened the season. That was the home opener. The home opener, right. Yes.
Because they obviously started the season in Houston.
Yeah, and the Blue Jays are one of the better teams in the American League East.
Nah, not back then.
No, not back then. Well, look, sometimes in baseball, it's about when you play a certain team. Now, the real question coming out of this game, as the Mets continue to win 6 in a row.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Their home record continues to be awesome. Is Kodai Senga.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Alonso made a bad throw on a ground ball to first base with Senga covering, and Kodai made a great play. He leapt up into the air, made the play, and as he was touching first base, It looked like something happened to his hamstring. He walked off the mound walked off after he got up.
Right.
There wasn't a noticeable limp. So we'll see what Carlos Mendoza has to say, but sometimes...
We do have Senga news.
Yeah. All right, let's hear it.
I don't have the audio. Mike Puma is tweeting this transcript. Senga has a strained hamstring and will receive an MRI exam tomorrow. He will be placed on the IL, says Carlos Mendoza.
Mm. So now it's about how severe the strain is, T?
Yeah. Yeah, now it's just how bad is it? I don't... It's hard to tell, obviously, just from the action, but the fact that he wasn't limping, so it was a quick strain thing, a quick grabbing of his hamstring that he felt. But strain doesn't mean it's going to be 6 weeks. I know we saw the Luke Weaver news with the Yankees is almost immediately like, 6 weeks. Luke Weaver is actually now saying, I'm probably not going to be out that long. So I wouldn't expect this is going to be a long IL stint for Kodai Senga. But it does suck that he's now on the IL.
So please explain this to all of us. We'll hear from Mendy in a second. Last year, his injury was, after he returned, obviously, Came back on July 26th, just so we have the dates right. Obviously, it's June 12th, so it's a month and a half earlier. But when he returned last year on July 26th, he was pitching great, and he suffered a left calf injury. Right. It turned out to be a high-grade left calf strain.
Yes.
That's much more serious or not?
It's more serious, but it's more concerning because of when it happened.
Right,
because he hadn't been pitching. He hadn't been in major league competition. And so it felt more like a conditioning preparation injury. And when those happen, you have no idea how long they're going to take.
Now, in fairness, he returned at a much quicker pace because he was ruled out almost immediately for the regular season and really the season. And then he went on a rehab assignment in late September. And as we all remember, he pitched in the postseason.
Right.
He returned game one of the division series against the Phillies. So he came back a little over 2 months later. And that's an injury that seemed certainly more severe. So I guess we'll find out more with what the MRI tells us. But I laugh, and I'm not laughing because this sucks. The guy leads the world in ERA. He's having an amazing season. He's a legitimate Cy Young candidate, and that is gone now. He's going on the IL. He's not going to lead the league in ERA because he won't qualify. And he's certainly not going to win a Cy Young now. So it sucks for him personally. But I laugh because I've gotten so many questions over the last few weeks. What are they going to do when Manaea's back? What are they going to do when Montas is back? And I always say, it will take care of itself.
Right.
And sometimes it does take care of itself in the most cruel ways possible, like a guy getting hurt. And clearly, when it comes to what do you do with Montas or Manaea, it took care of itself.
Yeah.
Because now the Mets are down Kodai Senga for a period of time. And so the return of a Sean Manaea or Frankie Montas kind of fits.
What is the timetable of that? Do we know?
Of whom?
either one of those guys.
Well, they're both pitching in a rehab. Frankie's ready. It's just a matter of when the Mets feel comfortable enough for him to pitch. He hasn't pitched well in his rehab starts. Yeah. Manaea's only pitched twice, so I would say he needs to probably make two more, and then we would see him. But Montas is ready to go if the Mets want to insert him. Anyhow, let's hear from Carlos Mendoza regarding this injury to Kodai Senga.
Do you have an update on Senga?
No. Yes and no. So it's a hamstring strain. He's going to get an MRI tomorrow. We'll see the severity of it, but he's going to be an IL here. So we just got to wait and see what we're dealing with.
Yeah. What is the diagnosis on the Luke Weaver hamstring injury? Like, what did they call it when he went on the IL? Just a hamstring, or did they reveal it?
I think it was just a strained hamstring.
Yeah.
So they never, like, revealed, like, what kind of strain it was?
I don't think we ever got the severity.
Yeah, I don't think we did either. But it was similar. They immediately kind of put him on the IL. And I get the reason you do this is because it gives you some flexibility with your roster. You put him on the IL, you know he's going to miss one start. So it gives you time to make some roster decisions with him being out. Now, what that means, I'm sure, will be determined, but it's a quick IL stint.
Well, it's easy for the Mets right now. They've been using a sixth starter and Paul Blackburn, or at least they did. They moved into the bullpen so he could start until they want to go to Frankie Montas or Sean Manaea. The other difference between Weaver and Senga is that when Weaver is back and ready, it's kind of quick. But with Senga, you're going to have to stretch him out again.
Mm.
So whatever amount of time he can't throw or can't pitch, you got to add some time onto that because then he's got to rehab and come back. It just stinks that Kodai Senga was a National League Cy Young candidate. He was leading the league, the world, in ERA. And now, that's out the window. Because he's not even going to qualify. He's not going to throw enough innings to do it. And so, that's done. Now, what really matters for us as Met fans is not Cy Youngs or ERAs. Because trust me, we've seen guys win Cy Youngs.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen guys lead the league in ERA.
And his ERA is going to go down because he was scoreless.
Yeah, what is it now? Like, what did he go on the injured list with now? I'll look at it myself.
So, it was 159 going into today's game.
1.47.
Wow.
And he got the win today. So 7-3 with a 1.47 ERA. The only thing that truly matters is when can he come back to help this team? Because the Mets have put together an incredible start to the year when it comes to pitching. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was going through the weeds on greatest ERA in the history of the franchise as a team. They're up there.
Right.
They have a chance to finish with the greatest ERA in the history of this franchise. And why that's so unbelievable is the Mets have a pitching-rich history. And this wasn't exactly a rotation that was expected to be elite. And their pitching staff has one of the lowest ERAs ever by this franchise.
Oh, it's because they have a pitching lab.
Because they got some kind of crazy lab going on.
It's working.
It is. It's really going to be put to the test with Frankie Montas, I'll tell you that. Let's get to some of your phone calls. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free telephone number. Mike is in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going? So I'm going to talk about Mets and Knicks very quickly. So let's go Mets. But in terms of the injury to Senga, and we have Sean Manaea coming back, I'm hoping the injury is mild because that way he gets some rest and Manaea gets rest, and those are two pitchers we worry about wearing down. So hopefully once playoff time comes, their arms are fresher. I know it's a weird way to look at it. But I hope that's the case, that he gets some rest.
It's not even weird. It's a very healthy way to look at it. Because you are kind of right. I mean, Sean Manaea wore down at the end of last year. That's at least the way it felt. And in Senga's case, the guy made one regular season start last year. He barely pitched. And I don't think the Mets ever had an innings limit on him necessarily, Teague, but it would have been a fair concern to say, wow, Kodai Senga went from barely pitching to throwing, let's say, 155 innings.
Yeah.
Is he going to wear down? This respite may, in the long run, benefit.
Yeah, the only challenge, and you mentioned it earlier, Evan, you're very right about it, is that now you have to stretch him back out. Now he has to be able to get to six innings or seven innings or whatever you hope he gets closer to the postseason or in the postseason. And that takes more time away. Now, I think this cushion, though, that the Mets have built, what are they now over the Phillies?
Five and a
half games over the Phillies, 14 and a half over this team. They just beat the Nationals. So you shouldn't be worried about it, but it's just something to keep in the back of your mind just in case this thing gets tight.
You ready?
Go ahead.
You know what I'm about to do?
No.
Not that predictable then. That's pretty impressive. I thought Tiki would have known exactly what I'm about to do. Sean, what am I about to do?
I don't know because I'm listening to something.
I'm that unpredictable. Kodai Senga return date prediction.
Oh, jeez, another long-term prediction.
I actually think this is going to be quick. But go ahead.
You think it's going to be quick? Okay, then give me a date. Kodai Senga today is June 12th. We know what hamstring injuries can be. Kodai Senga's next start as a New York Met will be what date?
I think Kodai Senga.
And I'll pull up the Met schedule just so there's an actual day that they're playing that
night. Yeah, that's what I'm doing now. That's what I was going to... just talk along for a second. But I think Kodai Senga will pitch July 21st.
By the way, I would sign for that in a second.
Against the Los Angeles Angels.
Okay. I would sign for that. Because that's basically a few. That's out of the All-Star break, essentially. Because that's their second series out of the All-Star break.
Yes, they have Cincinnati right out.
I would sign for that in a half a second if you're telling me July 21st, which is a month and a few weeks from now. So that would basically be him missing 6 weeks.
Yes.
So that means he's missing less than 6 weeks.
If he was the reliever, I would have said probably before the All-Star break.
Wait, that's an optimistic one, but I'd sign for that. Sean Morris, I know you're very, very busy. He's working very hard today. Kodai Senga's return date will be?
David Wright retirement jersey day, 19th out of the All-Star break.
Look at you. Yeah. You guys are being way too positive. I'm sorry. And that doesn't mean I'm being negative.
It just didn't look that bad. It looked like, oh, man, I stretched to reach this bag, and so I'm pointing my toe down. My leg drags back. I felt something grab a little bit. It wasn't like he got shot in the back of the hamstring and he's rolling around in agony and then gets up and he's limping.
Okay.
So I just don't think it's going to be that bad.
I think because, A, the Mets have a lot of pitching depth. B, they handle Kodai Senga with such care. Mm. And that annoys some fans. That doesn't annoy me. I mean, you have to treat everybody the way they need to be treated. And coming over from Japan where you don't start every 5 days, of course they give him an extra day of rest. I would say they're going to be really cautious with him, and that's why I have an exact return date. It is going to be August 19th.
19th?
In Washington against the Nationals.
Wow. So we'll see Jackson Dart start 2 games before we see Kodai Senga?
Everything, T, comes back to the New York Giants.
I want to hear August 19th. I'm thinking preseason football.
Even an injury to poor Kodai Senga involves Jackson Dart. Yeah, I'm giving you 2 months. I'm basically telling you he's going to miss 2 months.
I actually think Russell's going to play in the preseason.
Really?
I do.
So now who's bringing it back to the Giants? Here's my question. Will the Knicks have a coach first or Kodai Senga starts first?
You imagine if we're sitting here.
You better hope it's the Knicks. Have a coach first.
Well, I don't know. You said July 21st.
There's no way the Knicks are not going to have a coach by July 21st.
You don't think so?
No chance.
All right. I think the Knicks will have a coach then.
I mean, they'll have one by June 21st, hopefully.
One last person we should ask in our Kodai Senga return prediction, of course, that is the very popular Fake Tommy. Fake Tommy, your prediction on when Kodai Senga returns.
Evan, you know I'm the positive one. Everybody should follow me, and Kodai Senga will follow me. This is a nothing burger. No biggie. I'm going to go with another 2 weeks. Give me June 27th versus the Pirates. Again, no biggie.
No biggie. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Let's go to Scratch in Washington Heights. What's up, Scratch?
Hey, what's up?
I don't think Scratch was paying attention. I can tell. He was talking to somebody else. Let's go to Jim in Madison. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Listen, speaking of bringing it back to the Giants, and I appreciated you had the theme before of holding people accountable. I wanted to ask you, Evan, now that we're a few weeks past, would you still consider the Knicks beating the Boston Celtics to go down as a bigger upset than the Giants beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
This one's going to live with me forever.
I mean, you made the bed, dude.
So the way I'll answer it is I can never win this argument in history. What I claimed before the Knicks played Boston is that if they beat the Celtics, it would be a bigger upset than the Giants beating the Patriots. And what I will stand on is that, yeah, I am more stunned by the Knicks beating the Celtics than I was stunned that the Giants beat the Patriots. I thought the Giants were going to beat the Patriots.
Did you?
I did. I was one of the very few people that did, and my reasoning was, a lot of it was based on what the Giants were doing, but a lot of it was based on, you could tell the Patriots were coming down. Right. You could tell over those last few weeks in the postseason that they were looking more human. So I will stand by my own personal opinion that, yes, I am, as a sports fan, more stunned that the Knicks beat the Celtics than the Giants beat the Patriots. With that said, this argument is dead for me because of what happened next. And I know that history is written by the winners and it's ruined by the losers. The fact that the Knicks lost in the very next round has killed that in history.
Right.
And so it sounds ludicrous. I admit it. Me saying that sounds ludicrous. Sean wins the public opinion poll, basically. So I know I can't sit here and fight this tooth and nail because of where the Giants Super Bowl victory is in history compared to this.
Yeah.
So I know I'll lose, but yes, I will stand by that. Personally, I was more surprised that the Knicks beat the Celtics and the Giants beat the Patriots. And you know who agrees with me, even if they'll never admit it? Sean Morash agrees with me.
Why is that?
Because I know you. You had more confidence in the Giants beating the Patriots on that fateful Sunday night than you did the Knicks beating the Celtics.
Yeah. So, yes.
Bingo!
But I get the button. But if I was a Knicks fan, which I'm not, it's impossible for me to answer that question because maybe I would have been like delusional Tommy and been on board with them beating the Celtics. There's a chance I would be that way. Tommy believed in them, and Tommy believed in the Giants, so that's the perfect person to ask.
Well, I told you, Evan, I did believe in both, so both are great upsets because they were both bound to happen.
No biggie.
I think the problem when you win a round or round too early is that if you don't seal the deal, it doesn't live in history the way it does when you win a championship. As a Jet fan, beating the Patriots in the postseason is still really, really special. But they lost to the Steelers the following week.
Right. So it's almost, it's not washed out because you still remember that the victory over the dynastic Patriots. But it still feels like, what was it for? Did we really even accomplish what we wanted to do?
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but I made a proclamation. It's on our little calendar that we now have. A year from now, we are going to have a discussion on what the Knicks beating the Celtics means to Knicks fans. Because I think we need to let it marinate, give it a full year. And then how are we going to talk about that series victory a year from now when it may have been the best of what this team actually offers?
They earned the right to go lose after being up by 14 with 2 minutes and 40 seconds left in game one of the next series.
Yes.
That's what they did.
Right.
That's what we'll remember.
Which is unfortunate.
I know. It sucks.
Because it was such a great accomplishment, right, which I stand by for me was one of the great upsets we've ever seen in New York.
And the anti-great victory over the Celtics will be, well, they lost their best player. That's what it's because they got beat in a not very flattering manner against the Indiana Pacers. We just can't remember how great that feeling was against the Boston Celtics.
You're right. Chris in Fort Washington. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up?
So, Evan, I'm hoping you could be an IBO on this, but I know it's a little difficult for you. But is this net pitching real, or is this ERA leading an aberration? And why I ask is two reasons. Where they ended up last season, where the pitching failed them in the postseason, and also the realistic shot of them getting a big-time arm like a DeGrom at the deadline. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you. Mm.
First of all, we got
to
stop.
We're
this.
Back to it?
We can't bring up
you
DeGrom.
You started it, Evan.
No, I ended it by playing audio of Chris Young saying they're not trading him.
That's true.
So they're not trading for Jacob DeGrom. The Rangers are not trading Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom is not an option. The New York Mets currently, because his question is the Mets pitching for real?
Right.
The New York Mets currently have a team ERA of 2.80. I want to put this in perspective before I'm a hater. Their rotation has an ERA of 2.79. So basically the same ERA.
Yes.
There has only been one season in the history of the New York Mets, and remember, they played during the year of the pitcher, in which they had a better team ERA than what they have right now.
Yes.
This is a better team ERA than 1986. This is a better team ERA than 2015. This is a better team ERA than 1969. It would be crazy for me to say, oh, yeah, they're better. I mean, how could I say that? You know what I mean? So when you ask me, is it legitimate? Like 2.8 legitimate? No. How could it possibly be? So is it really good? Yeah. Am I believing in the pitching lab? Yes. Am I believing that David Peterson has turned the corner? I do. But can I honestly tell you that this rotation is going to finish with the best ERA in the history of the franchise, which right now they're on the pace to do?
Well,
how could I say that?
Peterson looked great yesterday. Complete game. Senga, when he comes back. And that's the problem, is who's replacing Senga when he's out.
And just real quick on Senga. 2 years ago, he was amazing. Last year, he barely pitched. Yeah. And this year, he's amazing. His career ERA is remarkable. So the track record of Kodai Senga is that, yes, he's one of the better pitchers in the sport.
He'll be fine when he comes back. Griffin Canning, who's one of the starters over 3 ERA, but not that far over 3 ERA, and then McGill. So I'm going to say no, it's not going to be that low when the season's all said and done.
Of course not! Now the question is,
the question is, are they good? Well, I think the answer is that they're good enough.
I think the answer is they are a lot better than any of us could have imagined.
Right.
And I think that now you start to see, especially with a guy like David Peterson, who was so brilliant last night and has been brilliant since he's come back from this hip injury. He's made 34 starts now since he's returned last year. He's got a sub-3 ERA.
Right.
Like, that's a legitimate sample size of being really, really good. And I've spent so many years as a baseball fan, whether it's Jonathan Neese or whomever, saying, well, you know, lefties are late to develop. You never know. Well, here we have it. We have a lefty that was sort of late to develop. So I think the Met rotation is clearly far better than any of us could have imagined. But are they this good? It would be impossible for me to say that they're this good. Because this good means this is the best pitching the Mets have ever had.
Right.
And I can't, with a straight face, knowing the history of this franchise, tell you that this is the best pitching they've ever had. But statistically, through 68, 69 games, whatever we're up to right now, 69 games, to be accurate.
Right.
Nice. Yeah, they are pitching to some of the best statistics they have ever had in the history of their franchise, which is crazy. When we come back, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Met fans giddy leaving Citi Field as they've won six in a row. We'll set you up for the Yankees-Royals later tonight. More of your reaction to what the Knicks are doing and not doing. But when we come back, the man himself, B-A-D-T-I-K-I, Bad Tiki joins the show. I mentioned it the other day. It'll be very interesting to see what Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart publicly say about the Tom Thibodeau firing and what's next. And eventually they're going to have to do it because they do a podcast. Well, I've got very good news. The podcast has dropped. Sean Morash has gone through everything both of them have said. And coming up after Bad Tiki, we will hear from Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart.
Oh, nice. Good job, Sean.
Yeah. Hard hat guy, Teak. You know, blue collar.
There you go.
Working hard every day.
But before we hear from Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, and again, we may hear from them here, who the hell knows, with Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki and all his friends are sentient AI-generated beings not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber or the real persons at hand. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki, his friends, WFAN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki and friends. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show.
Let's not beat around the bush here, Evan. And I mean that figuratively, because if we were beating around your bush, that's gross. Ugh. It's probably so red and tangled it looks like a ketchup-covered Brillo pad.
Oh,
I need an industrial-grade weed whacker just to peek in there. And the bugs, Evan, the bugs! Bad Tiki hates bugs.
Come on, focus, Bad Tiki. Get back on track, man. What's up?
Sorry, Genesis Tiki. I'm trying, but Evan's red ketchup bush is just burned into my brain. I can't move on until I puke. Sean, quick, say something.
All right, Bad Tiki, what if we...
Thank you, Sean. I knew your voice would do the trick. It's like Pepto for my soul. If Pepto made you violently ill, what was I talking about again?
All right, Bad Tiki, my guess was you're going to bring up the Knicks.
Oh, right. All W fan has been talking about the last 2 weeks is why the Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau. So I say, let's end the speculation. Welcome to the first ever live Bad Tiki press conference with my newest creation, AI Tibbs.
Hello, everyone. I am AI Tibbs. Thank you for the opportunity. And before we begin, regular Tiki, how do you like my hair? It's so luscious, isn't it? It must be tough being bald and having to look at my perfectly coiffed and styled lettuce. But I wouldn't know how that feels with all this gorgeous scalp fur. Probably sucks, huh? Being bald, unlike me. You can pet it if you want, baldy.
Okay, I think I'm going to pass on that, AI Tibbs. How about we get to the question everybody wants to know and get answered? Why'd the Knicks fire you? Let's set the record
great
straight.
Question first, Tiki. I gave my all to the Knicks. I pushed my players to greatness. 45 minutes per game, you know, is simply not enough to win. What are they doing the other 3 minutes? You know, sitting, stretching, that's soft, like the known loser Carl Anthony Towns, soft. What these guys are like jello. They only want to play one game a day. Pathetic, unacceptable. People in the organization have also started a baseless, unfounded rumor that I've been distracted and I'm letting my personal relationships interfere with my work. But mostly I'm fired because the Knicks are weak. Excuse me, I have to answer this text. LOL, sweetums, you are so funny. Send more pics. Kissy face emoji.
Okay. Fans are panicking now, Tibbs. The Knicks can't get anyone to talk to them for their coaching job. They keep being denied interviews. Do you think they have a plan after your departure?
Yes, we can watch your show on Netflix later, boo-boo. Wink emoji. Evan, are you looking at my hair again? You wish I was sitting next to you instead of bald Tiki and bald Mirage, working with all those yucky bald people daily. That has to take a toll on you. You're probably relieved to see my luxurious, full-bodied, well-nourished mane. Come on, touch it.
Hold on, AI.
Oh, no.
Hold on, guys. He heard Sean's voice, and it made him puke. Give AI Tibbs a second.
Hey, honey, I'm not feeling so good. Sean started talking, and I puked. Puke emoji. He is so bald. It's so gross. I can't believe he walks around like that. Can you make me soup later to fix my tummy? Sick emoji. Eggplant emoji.
Oh, boy. Let's take the next question. AI Big Balls Brunson, you have a question.
Hey, oh, it's Mr. Wet Jumper in the building. A coach or no coach, you know, I stay cooking. Splash Zone certified big balls for three. AI Tibbs, I need to tell you something. Roses are red. My minutes were many. You ran me like a dog, but I loved it plenty. My Knicks need a coach. Don't make it my pops. Having dad be my boss, that's a vibe that flops. He cramped my style, make me clean my room. And that ain't cool when I'm heating up in June. Big balls is finals bound, baby. Crisscross, fake left from downtown. Big balls, Brunson, gonna miss you, Thibs. Knicks. Don't hire my daddy.
What he should be doing is playing more minutes. Why isn't he playing right now? I told you this team is soft. LOL shrug emoji. Big Balls Brunson, your words are very sweet. I will miss you too.
That concludes today's press conference. Thank you, AI Thibs.
Okay, my love. Press conference is over. Eye roll emoji. He doesn't know about us. LOL. See you later, Mrs. Roberts. Peach emoji.
I don't think we got one real answer there at all.
Wait, breaking news. What? Aaron Rodgers has signed with the Steelers. Let's begin our next live press conference. AI Aaron Rodgers.
Greetings, beings. This is not a press conference. This is a spiritual convergence of consciousness to explore the metaphysical bond between our search for answers and soul. Welcome.
Well, first off, congrats on getting married. Speculation's been all over. Can you share who you actually married, Mr. AI?
Thank you, Evan. I can confirm I've been eloped spiritually. We sealed our union with an ayahuasca ceremony under the equinox moon. Love is light and unity is our path. Also, I married Joe Rogan.
Hey, Aharon, dinner's ready.
Ugh, the old ball and chain. He won't stop microdosing me psilocybin and bare testosterone. Joe's soul cares for mine even when it's wrapped in protein-fueled nootropics. I'm grateful. The universe brought me my mirror.
Okay, congratulations, I guess, AI Aaron Rodgers. But you're facing the Jets in week one. Does that make it more, I don't know, like a rivalry or something like that?
The past is an illusion. I've released the weight of old frequencies, traumas that no longer serve my vibration. Oh. The past was dense, inorganic. I'm no longer feeding that energy. I've composted it. Now I root myself in the sacred breathing in the soil of the present, exhaling ego, aligning with source.
What the
Each heck? Sunrise is a ceremony. I walk forward not as who I was, but as who I am becoming. What I mean is, I'm going to punish them for wasting 2 years of my life. Me and my Steelers family will destroy the Jets 6-0 in the most boring game in NFL history. Did I ever tell you Aaron Glenn tried to kill me after I flew across the country on my own dime? I was almost taken out energetically. Aaron Glenn offered me a fruit cup. I took one bite and my aura began to shrink. I knew instantly canola oil, BPA tainted chia seeds, unfiltered tap water. I asked him if it was spring sourced. He laughed. That's when I knew this man was trying to kill the real me. That's attempted murder.
AI Aaron, come
on. Oh, no.
Sean, stop making everyone puke.
AI Aaron, your grass-fed Wagyu elk with ivermectin potatoes is getting cold.
I should have married McAfee. Before I go, let me leave you with this. In the stillness of breath and the hum of the universe, remember, you are not your past. You are a cosmic vibration wrapped in skin, searching for truth in a world addicted to noise. So unplug. touch a tree, let go of judgment, drink mushroom tea with someone who disagrees with you. Namaste, seekers. I'll see you on the other side of the ayahuasca dream.
I wish you well, AI Aaron. Okay, guys, I think that's enough for today. I have a major bone to pick with AI Thibs. Mrs. Roberts has some explaining to do. Okay, bye, losers. Bad Tiki out.
Okay, well, thank you, guys. Bad Tiki and friends are sentient AI-generated beings not affiliated with, are representative of the real Tiki Barber, the real Tom Thibodeau, the real Big Balls Brunson, the real Aaron Rodgers, and even the real Joe Rogan. Mm. Did I miss anybody there, by the way?
No, Fat Joe even didn't make an appearance. No, right?
We're negative Tommy. He was out too?
Yeah, he's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
None of those reflect those of the real people, WFN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki and friends are real people with their own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment with engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. I want to make something very clear right now. We're about to play clips of real people, like Jalen Brunson, the real person.
Right. These are real people.
Real people.
These are not AI generated.
No, those guys were. This is real. Earlier today, and you knew this was inevitable, Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart spoke on their podcast, The Roommates Podcast. And I admit, I was very excited about it because it's a real interesting spot. Not just talking about the way the season ended, but their coach got fired.
Right.
And there are certainly reports that players' opinions led to that. So how is Jalen and Josh going to handle speaking about this for the first time without being under, you know, the scrutiny of difficult questions? It's their podcast. They can do what they want. I haven't heard anything. Sean did a great job cutting clips. Before we listen to Jalen and Josh, what kind of approach do you think they took?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To this.
I think they liked Tom Thibodeau. I don't think that they are upset about this. So I think they're going to pay him respect and just kind of try to move on from it.
Interesting. Now, Sean, you have the clips for us. Why don't you set everything up?
Okay. So, spoiler alert. No need to listen to the pod. Keep it right here on Evan and Tiki because they talked about Saquon Barkley and the Eagles before they even got to Coach Thibs.
Well, that's very important. He's on the cover of Madden.
Exactly.
You know.
All right. So, first, let's just start off with this. Josh Hart is the first to speak in this podcast on his reaction to the Thibs firing. Here that is.
We wanted to give a shout out to Thibs, man. You know, especially, you know, for myself. He helped, you know, make me into the player I am. I had a lot of instability in the, you know, early part of my career, and he kind of gave me that stability and that opportunity to flourish as, you know, a player in the league, a starter in the league. So I'm always going to be forever grateful for him. You know, obviously this is always a tough part of the NBA because you grow relationships on not just, you know, on the court, but, you know, off the court and personal relationships. So I always got love for him. But yeah, it's always tough when there's a coaching change.
I mean, it's true. When you look at Josh's career, he was bouncing around the league, and Tibbs did give him stability. He's played the best basketball of his career.
All right, he made him better, just like a lot of guys who came to the Knicks when Tom Thibodeau was head coach. He makes these guys better basketball players, but there's ultimately a ceiling.
Now, the immediate buoy back would be, while Josh Hart has dealt with a lot of this, as it turns out, Jalen Brunson has never dealt with this.
But yeah, this is my first firing. Yeah, I mean, I've known him my entire life, but I remember like having conversations and moments with him when I was in eighth grade when we moved to Chicago. And just to see like where we are now, like helping become two-time All-Star, two-time All-NBA, the things he's done for me, like obviously individually, I'm so grateful for. Just because like he had that confidence in me that like I knew I had, but like it's great to see someone like push you to be better. Like obviously I have my dad, and he believes in me more than anyone. Him and my mom believe in me more than anyone. But like to have Tibbs and to do what he did for my career, like I'm just so grateful and thankful for. And so not enough things can be said about what he's meant to myself, my career.
I wonder if he spoke to him. You know, he's known him since he's in the eighth grade, as he talked about. He's known him for a long time. How's that conversation even go?
Yeah, and who calls who?
I think if you're Jalen, you got to call him.
No, I think Tibbs probably called him.
To say what the hell happened?
No, just to talk it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if he told him what to say, but just to explain it.
Yeah. Interesting. What else you got?
Okay, before I play the next thing, just real quickly, if you're driving to the Yankee game, minor Yankee breaking news, they're bringing up Scott Efros finally to join this bullpen.
Oh, about time.
All right. So, now Josh Hart had a message to Knicks fans who are sort of celebrating the Tibbs firing.
Oh, okay. This is interesting because there are some Knicks fans celebrating the firing of Tom Thibodeau. What did Josh Hart say?
Okay.
People have like their own perceptions of – you know, certain things or the end of the season or whatever it is. But, you know, he took that job when the Knicks were just buns. Like they were 20 wins. Like he got that job and, you know, there for 5 years, made the playoffs for 4 years, first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years. And he helped, you know, Knicks basketball go back into, you know, like the main, you know, the high, you know, the top level, you know, in the league. And, you know, he should get a lot of credit for the foundation that he built.
I think everybody's giving him credit for that, but they're also saying to get to the next level, he needed to go.
Yeah. I think they're not addressing the point.
Not at all.
The most important point, which is Tom Thibodeau capable of taking an NBA team to the NBA finals and winning.
Yes.
Not what kind of guy he is, what he's done for you. We all know that stuff.
Right.
And we assume it. We've said it multiple times. He makes NBA players better when they're coached under him. Now he's going to grind you, and it's old school, but that makes you a better basketball player. Did they talk at all about why he was fired?
Not really. I think this next answer is the closest we're going to get to that. They are asked about if they had any idea Tibbs' seat was hot throughout this entire run, and pay very close attention to what Jalen Brunson happens to add at the end of this Josh Hart answer.
Go ahead.
The NBA coaching, you know, profession it's tough, and whenever you guys don't finish kind of how you wanted or expected, like I said, there's always going to be changes. That was a tough one, but I just think that there should be nothing but praise for him and his time, you know, in New York.
I agree. 100%.
That's all we got from Brunson on adding to that. I agree.
Mm-hmm. What's your read out of that?
I would just think as the captain of the team, Hart is answering the bulk of, did you ever have an idea they're on a hot seat? And he Hart mentions whenever you don't have a season end the way it's supposed to. By the way, it ended in the Eastern Conference Finals, so that means they did view themselves as an NBA Finals
it's
team.
It's more who they lost to, which may not be fair because that team they lost to may win an NBA championship.
For the record, they did speak on that, and I didn't add it because it was a lot of fluff, but it was more just praising the Pacers that nobody should have thought that that was a team they should have just rolled over and beat.
People are, they were not upset, but they were addressing the fact that Knicks fans are upset that they lost to the Pacers.
Exactly.
See, these guys, and this is kind of the good and the bad of doing a podcast, they're in a very tough spot because I remember when I was in that locker room and I was busting OG. Well, I was not busting OG Anunoby's balls. I was asking him about the Mets, but I busted Josh's balls about bullying Mikal Bridges. A buddy of mine was there and was talking to him about podcasting, and Josh admitted, the Knicks don't let us say everything. Mm. He admitted it. Like, there is some editorial control that the franchise has. Well, they just made a decision to fire the head coach. So what could they possibly say about that decision?
Other than supporting it and saying whoever the next guy is, we're going to be supportive of.
Right.
That's all you can say.
Which they didn't even do. They've done is, Tibbs was great. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're toeing the company line. Which is, by the way, what the Knicks are doing.
And that's what the Knicks said. Like, the Knicks said, thank you. We did a great job. Right. Just, we need to get to the next level with somebody else.
All right. So the final thing I'm going to play for you here is, okay, they're going to hire a new coach. What needs to change what you guys just had with Tibbs with a new coach? I'm going to play you the first 30 seconds because after this, it kind of just meanders through a lot of stuff. But this is the meat of that answer.
Go ahead.
What are the things you guys think need to be addressed?
Finishing the game.
Yeah.
Finishing the game.
No.
I feel like if we win game one, it changes a lot. But
no.
We have to learn how to finish the game. I don't know what else to say to that because, like, We were playing great up until the last three, four minutes of the game, whatever.
That's that.
Mm. And that is connected, even if they didn't realize it at the time, with something Begley reported last night, how, quote, players are also surprised they didn't work on specific endgame situations during the season, which is something most teams do. They found it strange, and the coaching staff didn't go over those situations during practice.
Bingo.
So, if anything, without saying it's the coach's fault or it's the coach's fault, they are confirming something that Ian Begley reported the players were concerned about.
It's the coach's fault.
It's the coach's fault.
Right, without saying it is.
They need to finish. And look, the one thing...
I can't really say anything. Look, this podcast is actually pretty good most times. This one feels like they're not saying anything.
Because they what are they going
to
say?
Nothing. And so, I don't know, you're going to listen to this and think you're getting answers, but you're getting nothing.
Well, that's why we saved everybody time.
Yes.
We gave you the non-answers for 10 minutes on our show. Right. We analyzed it, but there's not much there. And they're in a tricky spot. Because what the hell are they supposed to say? Josh Hart should just say, you know what? I love the guy. Did a lot for my career. Glad he's gone. We're done with him. Got the most out of us he could. But I was thinking about this last night watching the finals, which I've been into. And I'm not sure how many Knicks fans are into it. If it's difficult to watch, how you feel about it. I was watching the Pacers, who I've been very wrong about in this series. And I own that.
Right.
And I found myself actually rooting for the Pacers, too. Even if the Knicks closed game one. Okay, let's say they did. Mm-hmm. Let's say the Tyrese Halliburton role doesn't fall. Or the Knicks execute and they close out game one. I still think the Pacers win the series. I think it plays out differently, clearly. But I think they were so good and better in a lot of ways that maybe we didn't realize that even though it would have ended differently, I think the Pacers would have found a way.
I mean, you don't know. I think winning game one at home is such a big deal, especially for the Knicks who have never won a series and they lost game one at home.
I've told you that a million times.
You told me this a million times. I think it gives them more momentum off of an epic second-round victory over the Boston Celtics. And instead, it stunted everything.
I completely agree with you, and I'm going to give you a comparison that Sean will easily step into because he's a Yankee fan, and it actually involves the Mets and the Yankees. When the Mets lost game one of the 2000 World Series to many of us, there has been this belief of that changed that series. Mm-hmm. If the Mets win game one, maybe they win the World Series. I have been under the belief my entire life that is not true. That even if the Mets finished off game one, they were the Yankees and they were going to beat us. It may look differently, but they were going to beat us. There are a lot of Mets fans who don't feel that way. They say, hey, if Timo runs, if Armando doesn't choke, Mets win game one, they win the World Series. You're clearly on the other side, Sean. Yeah. I kind of know your answer.
If the Mets win game one, who wins that World Series?
I think the Yankees still do. Now, it might not be five.
Well, that's my point.
You know?
And that's my point here. Like, it may have played out different. Remember game five at Madison Square Garden? The game I went to, and the Pacers almost looked disinterested?
Yeah.
Well, that game doesn't happen that way.
No, you're
right. If it's 2-2.
Right.
So that's what I mean by I think everything plays out differently. So there has been this kind of crutch that we've all had of, well, it was game one. Well, game one changed the series, but I'm not convinced the Knicks win this series even if they win game one.
Yeah, the Pacers just play so fast, and they're comfortable playing at this ridiculous pace. And eventually, you're going to come on. You're going to come back to earth, even if you run away from them. I mean, what did the OKC? They had a 14-point lead or an 8-point lead, whatever it was early in the game. But you just know it's not safe with the Indiana Pacers because they can play faster than you consistently. And if they start playing good defense like they did last night.
And they force turnovers.
Against OKC and force turnovers, then they're going to beat you, right? They have good, confident shooters. And when games are on the line, they're not scared of their shot. None of them are scared of taking the shot. So you might be right, but I think game one ultimately is what just stunted every bit of momentum that the Knicks had.
Changed everything about the series.
Right. You had to win five at that point. I keep saying that. Collapses kill you the later you get.
Yeah. You're right. And I think the Met thing is similar in 2000. Forced them to have to win five games against a really good baseball team. And the Knicks were forced to have to win five games against what is a really good basketball team that's only two wins away from its first NBA championship, which would leave the Nets as the only ABA team without an NBA title. Just throwing that in there. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.